Oh, sorry. Okay, you're on.
10 pounds, so general. Erica, you gonna come
on? Come on down, Erica. We feel funny.
Yeah, well, now, it's lonely down here right now.
That's right.
Lonely as a tub. Good? Nice. Hands looking good? Yeah. Nice, buddy. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I saw that. Well, I think I was in his next sister, too. I turbidity. And, you know, you go down with your oar, and it hits the ground.
Alrighty.
I'm going.
Make sure you keep your life.
Did I already call him, Slater?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Alright.
Very good. Welcome, everybody.
Alright, well, anybody with the minutes, any questions, concerns?
I was going to do that.
We will move on to the resolution. We'll start with resolution 295, confirming the appointment of a member to the Community Service Board Subcommittee for People with Developmental Disabilities. This is the appointment for Helen Gagne. What the term is again, September 1st, 2015 to December 31st, 2018. Resolution 299 is supporting the passage of the state staffing for Quality Care Act. If you guys saw the fall a couple months back, we've had members of the state association come in and discuss with us kind of legislation that would mandate an increase in nurse patient ratio.
She was nice enough to highlight it, show you exactly what they were proposing. And you know, like we said, we know, especially we've just read a lot of articles and some pages of paper it's a major problem for Olson, just one in particular.
And it's not only the patient's health that's at risk, but it's also the nurse's health that's at risk because they're overworked.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some facilities mandate that, let's say, a nurse calls them sick, and they have to mandate to stay there a second shift and work a double shift just to...
Right, well, and that's addressed in the legislation. That they'll have the right enough, they don't, you know, without being, So, I appreciate all the members' names on the resolution. I just put it in because it was, you know, we were going on to the third month and I knew you were busy.
Yeah.
I told Vicki, just go ahead and write it up.
I'm sorry, my name.
Yeah, I can add my name.
Yeah, my name.
Would you make sure everybody's name is on it?
Resolution 300, Rooting Excuse for Contract and Access of $50,000 and the county with the United Way for payroll. I couldn't make out what that actually said. It was kind of fuzzy on the resolution. Is that all? Payroll services. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Can you move it first?
Sure. Good County Credit Program.
Humbled it.
Second.
I noticed that whenever there's a section of the abstract that's on a resolution, I don't know if the clerk is scanning the sins from the thing.
Well, I have to read it.
Even online, they can't.
But I think that's on that large.
Yeah, this is, we're hiring a payroll, we're hiring United Way to do the payroll?
Correct.
Yeah, was this, and how do they, do they employ people in need to do this service, or how does the United Way?
Sure. This is new. This is actually something that the legislature funded this year in the county budget. Called the Career Ladders Program. This is a program that recognizes the gap that exists between federal and state programming to help people transition from welfare to self-sufficiency. So what we've done is we've looked at kind of the best practices, the things that we do that we know work. For example, we have great programming at the Office of Employment and Training for people that are chronically unemployed. Unfortunately, people that are on public assistance don't qualify for those types of programs, like on-the-job training and other skill development. So what we've done is we've put together something pretty cutting edge. I don't think there's another county in the state doing this right now. And what we've done is that this will fund an initial pilot for 25 people. We're going to provide, right now, everyone who's on our safety net assistance program is about 300 that are coded employable. Deemed to be able-bodied and can work. What we've done is we've done an extensive evaluation of all those clients on the list. We think the first 25 are going to go through a three-week intensive skills development course. And then we've reached out to our business community. We've identified at least 30 businesses so far that will take clients. So we're going to take clients and put them in a paid three-month work experience. So they're all going to be paid employees, because we don't want to make them employees of the county. So we're using a contract using United Way, similar to the way we do the summer youth employment program. So they're going to be on the payroll of United Way for 3 months, and during that period of time, they will have a training period, and then at the end of that training period, if they pass the training period, those employers will take them on as full-time employees of the county of their business and transition them off of welfare. And we do this now every day with on-the-job training contracts where we use federal dollars. There'll be a training period for a new employee, and at the end of that period, they get hired as a full-time employee. So we're taking a lot of best practices that are out there, putting our own twist on it, making it work for Ulster County and moving forward. I mean, we're hoping that this will be the initial pilot.
And the hope is that the business will hire them.
Yeah. We have a really good track record with our standard on the job training contract. with the right support and work with the clients, hope to have some success. And I could not identify another county in the state that does a paperwork experience for any letter of law.
You know what else it does too? It gives them 3 months where you have the responsibility to get up, get dressed, go to work.
What we've done is we're pairing them with our counselors that work in employment and training to work with them to identify any problems that crop up in the workplace and deal with it and address it.
And so right now they're on a safety net. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they get hired to be able to get off.
That's right.
Very good. Great program.
Again, it's pretty simple. I put 2 years into it. It's the first contract that you've seen where it's over.
Any other discussion? Mm-hmm. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Here, take that with you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we have 301 and 302. It's okay with the table. We'll move to the bottom.
Second.
Okay. Walking. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now, resolutions. I'll move to discuss.
Second.
All right. Second discussion already.
Transportation.
Okay.
The only thing is if there's no...
That has happened.
That just would be $30,000.
So it's unfortunate at this point, right? But I think that we had asked for something comparable to what the contract was prior. I know it's came up with somebody, but you had brought up that.
Yeah.
But we can make it, I guess maybe a little contingent on seeing something, our final cost.
They're
talking about the children.
And the fees are regulated by law.
Regulated by the state education department?
Uh-huh.
So they'll pick up these preschoolers from their house, bring them to preschool, and then pick them up and bring them home.
Mm-hmm.
5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And is that just throughout a school year or through the whole year?
School year.
What is the contract
for? It's not reasonable.
8/31.
There's other things that they have to do too. I mean, right. It's more specific the contract is.
Yeah, the contract is for a year though.
Mm-hmm.
9/15 or
right.
8. Oh, 8.
That 8. That was 3
years. Yeah, it's 3 years.
Oh, 3 years.
Okay.
So
we don't really know.
We've done these before.
Yes. No, I know. I think it's
a clear agreement.
I'm going to get back to you once in an email to let you know exactly why that happened.
They gave us estimates of what they expected to spend. We don't have the accounting of what they spent. I don't know if it was for the bus service or if it was for something else. There were like 4 or 5 resolutions.
It was
for
heading out.
The same kind of contract.
We could ask for it for ways and means, maybe if you want to see numbers. But are you comfortable?
I mean, $50,000, that's great,
Yeah.
I mean, is it going to be $1 million? Probably not, but...
Yeah, probably not. All right. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 303 is approving the contract amendment to access of $2,000 by the county for the children's home advocacy.
I'll move it.
This is second. Still increase, but not to exceed the amount. I don't really understand that. I guess it is going to exceed the amount, right, based on the number of
you're increasing the amount.
This is an amendment.
Yes. Yes, we'll have for that.
Mm-hmm. You go up to increase the amount.
Because of the number of children that have been placed in the foster.
Now, when I saw this posted on our resolutions, I went back and looked at other resolutions that we've done, because we've done a couple of them this year. Well, we did one other one this year for the, it was for another contract.
for Forest Care Services. Now, I looked at all the contracts, because these contracts are for 2014 to 2016. $3.7 million for foster care in all the contracts that I looked at that were signed from 2014 to 2015. Now, the original contracts, there's one, two, three, there's four contracts. Poughkeepsie Children's Home, another one for St. Catherine's Children. Okay, so the original contract, $1.9 million. Now, the amendments almost doubled what the original contracts were, $1.8 million, for a total of $3.7 million. Now, I couldn't find the abstracts for and the resolutions for the other contracts, but this contract states that the county pays 34%. So that's $1.3 million between the original contracts and the contract amendments. And I'm sorry that Ken left so abruptly, because he probably thought I knew I was going to talk to him about this, because I had mentioned it to him. I looked in the budget, and I cannot find the budget line for these types of services. The services that I see, for social services, are juvenile delinquency, which I don't think this wouldn't come out of an account for juvenile delinquency. Child care and family assistance. I don't know where are we going to come up with this money. Where is it coming from? I'd like to know in the budget where it's coming from. That's one. The other thing I'd like to know is what has happened that we're spending $3.7 million on foster care. And they're going into group homes. They're not going into single family homes. How do we get to this point? Well, I understand that, but how does it double in the same year, really? I mean, because the contracts were 2014 to 2016, it doubled this year.
Could
that have to do with an increase of children? And so I think it would be based on age. But then we need to find out from social services why. I mean, did something happen? Is there more enforcement with, is there more enforcement with child protection services that they're taking children away from the families? And then why is that? I mean, is it only because we're cracking down on it more so than in the past, or is it really a problem in Ulster County? Because I think spending that kind of money is setting off an alarm that there's something terribly wrong here. And I'd like to get some answers. And maybe we could ask the, Mike Iaposi to kind of look at this and see what, you know, what happened between 2012 and 2013. How come, you know, these two-year contracts, in 1 year, it doubled, and there are amendments. Why, when they did the contracts, not to exceed, you know, 900,000, not to exceed 1.2 million or whatever, and now it's exceeding at double the rate.
I think those are legitimate questions.
And where are we getting the money from? That's all I want to know. Because I look at the budget, and things are buried in there. They're buried in terms that I can't understand. Or they're lumped in with other services that don't say necessarily foster care, but might say something else. So I don't know. And it was my intention to ask him tonight. I just asked for the contracts. So I didn't get a chance to tell them, you know, why I wanted the contracts. Mm-hmm. And after reading them and looking at them, the alarming amounts of money that we're spending. And not only we're spending, the state is spending more than we are. We're basically only spending a third, I don't know, a little bit over a third. And that's a big chunk. Probably have to talk to Ken to be able to talk to Mike.
Right.
Yeah, but you're also on leave and ease. So we can get those answers to you by leave and ease.
Well, I'll send them an email tomorrow also, but when I saw Black Hammer, did he have to go to the same place that did?
I was just like,
yeah.
So maybe answer
the finished question. So are you proposing that we postpone the vote on this, and then we pursue this for ways and means, and then we would have
them. Well, I mean, look, I'm sure it's a legitimate expense,
right?
But I'm saying is, I can't get a handle on where it's coming from. You know, are these allocated funds? Are these funds that were in the budget allocated for this purpose, or are we taking this out of the general fund? And if we're taking it out of the general fund, then either, you know, we did a bad job of projecting how much it was going to cost for this service, for this contract year, or what? I don't know. Or we were afraid to put the exact number when we first started because we knew it was going to grow. I don't know. And then the fact, the social issue of the whole thing is that, you know, it means that families are being destroyed. The kids are being taken away from parents and putting into foster care. I can't believe that this is the same type of contract where we signed last time where these kids, they were hard to place them. They had medical issues or emotional issues.
Those are special contracts.
Right, which I can understand. But,
I understand
there's
concern, but this,
yeah, something
that should be.
And maybe we should throw money at a social program instead of just putting these kids, you know, in a home.
I think one of the things that's different is that the demand on food pantries and such, Carl, are very, very high in the state.
What I'm saying is I'm not going to speculate. I want answers. So I'm going to send, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, I'll send Ken an email tomorrow explaining what I'd like, you know, what kind of answers, and then whether or not we can speak directly to Mike Iacocci or through him, to kind of figure out why all of a sudden this is happening, because it's, I mean, if this is happening in this contract here, what's going to happen next year? I mean, $3.7 million. Is that going to double in 2016 to 2018?
Well, at least they should have whatever they utilize as the basis of the budget. It's probably based on X amount of kids, and what do we have in the program now? What do we anticipate?
I'm not going to speculate. Plus the fact that we're taking an agency that's outside of our county, and they do have group homes in Ulster County, and we're giving them the business. So does that mean the children's home and St. Catherine's can't handle the kind of work that is being thrown at them right now?
Yeah, maybe so, but now you have to think those are definitely questions that
I think. Well, those are my questions. I'm not going to delay the whole thing. I'm sure it's a reasonable expenditure, but I just want to get clarification.
I'm on your own way to
means,
right?
I'm on my way to means,
yeah. Okay, yeah, something to bring up during that meeting and reach out to Rachel's home. So,
sorry for being so passionate. I didn't mean to be.
No, I think you bring up legitimate questions. So, all right, well, that's it. Anybody, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We will move, where were we in?
304.
And David is approving the use of a contract to make the $1,000 in the county of the Gateway Community and promote. This provides for private food stamp employment training program for recipients of SNAP. And this is especially a program that it's a mandated program. Oh, yeah. It's a program that provides for people, I guess, a healthier type way of, eating and some of that part of the program, right? I thought that we had,
Food stamp and training program. Yeah. For recipients of supplemental nutrition assistance programs.
Gotcha.
So you're in the right.
Gotcha. Okay. I stand corrected. Thank you, Erica. Any questions? contract, and I serve as the governor of the Italian Multi County Community Development Corporation, providing mandated TINS waste management services. Move for discussion?
Move.
Second. Yeah, and I remember seeing this one before as well. That's 35, I think. Well, what was $15,000? Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Resolution 308.
306.
My goodness, where am I today? All right. Approving the execution of contract with Maryland with the family of Woods Scott. Move for discussion.
So moved.
Second. All right. It's providing support and diversion of services through the supervision and treatment service for juvenile program. And this is, in Zora Juvenile Going with Petition to the Family Court. This is, 11% county, again, shared with, it's both state and federal, also, maybe, $57,522. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Carry. All right, now, let's go. 308. Okay, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Department of Health Continued and Drinking Water Enhancement Program. Move for discussion.
So moved.
Second. Alright. These funds are used for personal costs that enable the department to help to improve its ability to oversee and implement the public drinking water supply program. Yes, this is, we've done this for quite some time. I had a question on here. Is that
humbled it?
Yep.
Oh, it was all that.
I'm sorry. Well, brought it. 6.5 words in it. let me change this. I asked a question about this. I was looking at Patrick. What is the dollar amount so far? $50,000. Between 2015 and 2016, and then by 2020, we have a $50,000 appropriation. Do you see that at all?
I have no idea.
No idea. That's something that depends on that.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
It was anticipated.
All right.
Well, here's the backup stuff. The problem is where the money is going. Salaries, the fringe, the tax man.
So it's only a partial year through March 31st. So it's not a full year of the
testing
in the program. Mm-hmm. So he works for the final year. To answer your question, it's only paying for three months.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
So that would account for the drop in the funding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, granted, I have an expiration date on them.
Apparently. Okay. I'm satisfied with that. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And we will go to Resolution 309, authorizing the Chairman of Ulster County Legislature to use agreement with the U.S. Geological Survey to continue the joint planning agreement for water resource investigation.
So move. Second.
All right. This program funds will enable the U.S. Geological Survey to continue to operate and maintain the gauging station on the Hissopus Creek, which provides floodplain elevation data of the lower Hissopus Creek basin. How's that working?
It's not working good.
Okay.
Because the resolution before, we were spending money for them to make sure that we have safe drinking water, okay, and the state is giving us money, and then here we're asking the United States Geological Survey to put these meters in the water to watch the turbidity go by the lower esophagus, and into our drinking system. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know.
How does that work? We're only going to look at drinking supplies in certain areas, but I know my town gets their drinking water from Hudson River, which the esophagus goes into. And,
it's about
humidity. No, I understand that.
It's about flooding, which is different.
No, I know. That was it, the resolution before that.
Protect
us, and then this one
helps
with flooding.
This is actually a big implication. So, yeah.
Thank you, Arthur.
It's
going to
help flooding.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carrie.
I know that we have scheduled the next meeting to be held at the Murphy Center for traumatic brain injury. That's on August 31st. I took the liberty of inviting the Ulster County Coalition of, Against Narcotics to come also. We're going to get a tour of the facility, concentrating on disabilities related to heroin overdoses. So hopefully we'll all make it, because I think it's going to be an interesting tour.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, yeah. No, it was great that you had suggested that. I have never been there. I don't know if anybody has.
So we'll have our committee meeting there as well as the tour?
That's our time.
Okay.
Very good. You have old business? New business?
Yes. I attended a seminar yesterday. Seminar yesterday on dyslexia. I don't know if anybody knows what dyslexia is, but I handed out, and I have to apologize for my copying or my downloading, because apparently the following pages have wiped out part of it. But you can go to this website. Excuse me? And I'm glad you used that term, because that's part of the problem. Dyslexia really is not an illness, and it's really not a disorder. It's how people learn, and people learn differently. There are 20% of our population that learns visually instead of through reading. Ironically, I went there because I was invited. My daughter has some symptoms of dyslexia, and I learned yesterday as I was leaving that I am dyslexic. When I heard the term, and when I thought it's a condition or an ailment or an illness or a disability, I found out I was wrong. I found out there's a large faction of the population, especially farmers, engineers, and politicians, tend to be the highest groups, sometimes lawyers, that are dyslexic. We tend to learn visually.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to be problem solvers as by nature. And I think the problem is one, there's a stigma that goes along with it that needs to be corrected through awareness. Number two is the education department really isn't recognizing it, and they're trying to teach children, and the result of them in their early age, in their early school career, being forced to learn a certain way that they're incapable of doing, it takes 10, 8, 10, 12, some people a lifetime to get beyond what they've been forced into. And I know my daughter, my youngest daughter, who is not, by definition, dyslexic, is left-handed. And kindergarten teacher forced her to do everything, including write, right-handed. And for probably four or five, well, at least most of grammar school, she had issues learning because she was forced to do everything right-handed, and she's a left-hander. And she is far from being a straightforward student right through college and into her master's, and she's got six of her PhD credits already. But obviously not disabled when it comes to learning. The local chapter of, I have some business cards too, I guess I'll hand out. This gentleman put the seminar on, he's also a filmmaker. Short ones, I'll have to get other ones. His name is Stephen Polk. He's from California. And he's dyslexic, and he's had problems with it all his life, and he's trying to bring awareness through making films, and he's been down to Washington, and he's produced some films, and they've been through the D.C. circuit. Anyway, I think it's something that affects the public health, and there's 20% of the population is being listed as challenged or disabled in their learning capabilities when actually a majority of them have IQs between 150 and 170. So it's an awareness thing that needs to happen. So they asked if they could come before our committee and make a presentation. And then possibly do some sort of legislation in the future after we've vetted it out in committee.
Legislation related
to well,
policy related?
Bring some sort of awareness
okay.
to the issue and possibly even some policy with regards to the education department.
That's a great idea.
So,
state education at work?
Probably, yes. So that's what controls
it. So that's more or less work with them and figure out what it is exactly they want out of Auburn.
And that's what they would like to come here and discuss.
When is it?
I'm going to assume not at our September meeting because we're having that off-site.
Yeah.
How about our October meeting?
Okay.
Read up. It's pretty interesting. I'll be honest with you. I was flabbergasted.
Okay.
Find out after 59 years I have a condition or more, a different way of learning.
Yeah.
I learn visually. I really do.
Yeah. I'm slightly dyslexic as well, and so is my niece. And I remember I went through all kinds of testing when I was younger and trying to figure out exactly who I was. Learning is at the same pace that other people or my other students were, and then they tested me and I had like 137 IQ with like a child. I think I was in first grade. And then I don't know what happened since, but as far as not really understanding and having a grasp on the different ways that people learn, and I'm a visual learner, absolutely, I'm not a good reader. But I retain everything, most things that I see.
I'll read engineering reports and journals infinite of 14,000 pages worth.
Yeah.
But recreational reading, I just feel I don't have the time for. You're a politician.
The opponents of politicians.
Well, and they do say that they're very compassionate, and they try to improve the general public around them, which is what a public servant does.
Sure.
So, we're saying that the schools don't recognize dyslexia. Most of them don't. And believe it or not, they do have special educators that you have to petition the school to. I think they said it's like $3,000 a year to send them to a special tutor that works just with dyslexic children.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, because schools are dealing with, like, attention deficit disorder. I think at least they're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, I mean, where's the line? Because it sounds similar.
Well, I'm going to tell you that what I learned yesterday is the line is that maybe 50% or 70% of those people are dyslexic, but we're spending millions of dollars mm-hmm. where we could spend $3,000 a year and save $1.5 million. And those are terms that they were kicking around. Don't hold me to the numbers, but we spend a lot of money on programs because the children have been misdiagnosed.
Yeah, and they medicate some of
them. Yes, they do, because what happens with people with dyslexia is because they're forcing you to use, I mean, you use a part of the brain, and it's 20%, 80%, whatever it is, and you're forcing them to use a different part of the brain, and they feel that they can't accomplish things when they could if they were taught a different way or allowed to do it a different way. And I do that all the time. I come up with answers to solutions, but I don't use standard, you know, practice to do that. But the solution is correct. But anyway, and they wind up treating for depression because they feel like, I can't do this. I can't get it. When they go to a tutor, and within 3 or 4 days, they're mastering algebra, getting 100 on their readings. Whereas when they've taken the reasons prior to practice reasons, they're getting 20, 18. Yet when they teach them visually in a week to 2 weeks, they're literally acing the reasons exams.
Okay. This was my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very informative because I didn't know what dyslexia was. I thought it was the reversal of words.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
But you could pick a strategy for memorializing resolution, you know, where we're suggesting to, you know, the state board of regents or the
Yeah, and we probably can learn a lot because Connecticut's the first and only state that has actually passed legislation on a strategy to deal with dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it yet. I just came aware of this stuff yesterday afternoon. But that may be the model, the Connecticut legislation.
If you can get that for you, then for the next meeting, we could even, or for that meeting 2 months out, bring it up for discussion.
Do you have your self-research of the legislation that was passed this past year in the state of Connecticut?
Some kind of strategy for implementation of curriculum and pedagogy that addresses the needs of people with dyslexia. That would be something that would be, you know, a good brainstorming idea that you could throw out there. And
do you know why it passed in Connecticut? Because the governor was dyslexic.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Tom Cruise. There are a lot of people.
That one I can't remember. Yeah, exactly. And you know what's ironic about it is you know, I don't know, I just learned about myself yesterday. Mm-hmm. And when this guy was talking, and he had a private conversation with me earlier, and he said, you have all the classic symptoms. You are a classic dyslexic. Mm-hmm. And I said, what? Mm-hmm. No, I got a clean bill of health. I went for a physical 5 years ago, and everything was good. So what do you mean? And it's not a disease. And I think if that in itself were to change, people, especially teachers, would be more open to non-classical educational practices.
Can't do that with common partner.
Well, that's another thing that needs to be tackled.
Yeah, we don't get into that. Yeah, no, I totally hear you. It's, we'll address it. We'll put something together and we'll work on it for
I'll be in touch and give me people's name. Are you
going to
invite the person that wants to
come? Yes, it's Evelyn White Bay. And I don't know if this is Stephen Polk. I mean, he's from California. I don't know if he'll be traveling back or not. I have no idea.
All right, okay.
Very good. We also have another guest with us this evening. Give it a few minutes. If you want to come. We have some issues I'd like to discuss. Speaking with a couple of my colleagues, I had agreed that this may be an appropriate venue for you to share those with us.
Thank you all for having me here.
What's your name?
Judy Pinkins.
Judy?
Judy Pinkins. I'm sorry to get your back. Judy Pinkins. I'm an advocate with Family Court and CPS Reform. And I'm
just
so
enjoying it
to
hear all
the things
that
I share in the background.
I didn't know
it for a while. So I wrote something out and I want to read from it because it'll be easier for me to focus because this is something that happened to me and my children, my family. And when you were touching about asking about family support and CPS and foster care, or you were asking about foster care, I think by reading this, it might open your eyes to show you a little bit how maybe there are reasons why it doubled.
And you're being recorded.
Thank you.
General public.
Sure. Okay. And I'm going to ask questions, but I'm not expecting you to answer them. First, I'd like to say thank you for having me here tonight to talk about a very important issue going on here in Ulster County. I know how much the protection and welfare of children mean to all of you here tonight. I would like to ask you to please raise your hand if you're a mandated reporter. Now I'd like to ask you, to ask all of you that are parents or if you love children, what would you do to protect them if you thought they were in danger? I'm now going to ask you all if any of you are aware what the illness and the danger a child or even an adult would be if they were around a person that had this illness. It's okay if you don't know, because I didn't know myself until I became aware of this. It's one of the reasons I'm here tonight. As a young child and well into my adult years, I was raised by a mother that I believe has this illness and needs to help a professional. If just one mandated reporter would have listened to me when I spoke of the abuse, I would not be standing here in front of you today, 11 years later. Now, before I tell you my story, I'm going to send around some pictures of my beautiful family before Child Protective Services of Ulster County and Family Court of Ulster County got involved in our life. I'm also going to send around a book written by... She was raised by a mother that has... Her childhood is very similar to my childhood, and the same abuse I suffered from my mother is a great reference to help become educated in this area. So, I'll just kind of look around, and I'll send some pictures of this is a picture of my family my last Christmas in 2004, before Family Court and CBS got involved in our life. It's the last Christmas I had in one room with them since 2004.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask, what exactly, I'm not getting the ailment. What was it called?
It's called... And this is a book that,
Okay.
And these are just some pictures of the mom that I truthfully am, and I thought it would be nice for you to just see some if you want to have them there. Now, before I tell my story, I'm going to send around some pictures of... I'm going to tell you mine and my children's personal story of what happened to us due to a mandated reporter's not being aware of this illness and not gathering facts, taking hearsay to destroy our life. I'm going to shorten the story as it's 11 years non-stop fight to try and keep my children safe and get them back into my loving arms. In the year I filed a violation petition in the court of Family Court in Ulster County because of the father of my sons was not following a letter written by a judge. In return, his father filed an emergency petition full of lies. Without a hearing, without being able to defend myself, my children were taken away from me. But he filed an emergency petition. I had a lawyer named at the time that did not do his job. He did not order a hearing. He did not present the facts to the judge. What he did do is take $14,000 when he first met me. He advised me that he would take care of it all. His favorite saying was, hang in there, kid. He was advised fully of the illness by myself and a couple close friends that were aware of all the details. He was given all the details about my mother's bizarre behavior and the facts that involved other family members. He even spoke to me about how he believed what was done to me was a conspiracy by my ex-husband and my own mother. He fully was aware of every detail then that occurred and hired a doctor to help my case. This doctor was hired to clear up all the false things that were being said by family court, CPS, my ex-husband, and my mother. At the time, I also had an open investigation with Child Protective Services due to lies being reported to them by my ex-husband and my mother. I did everything I could to get Child Protective Services to understand the lies were from my own mother and my ex-husband. I kept believing my mother and my ex-husband, no matter what facts that I presented to them. As well, I informed the workers about the illness I believed my mother had. She continued to believe the lies and put a report on my name. She also wrote a letter, a long letter, to Judge informing her of all the lies she collected from all parties involved, which was all hearsay, not one proven fact. She went on about me not being mentally stable and writing in the report that others had told her, but nothing based on facts. I had not seen this letter that was sent to the judge till I fired my lawyer for not doing the job as my attorney. When I hired a new lawyer, we had received the complete file, and I went through it with a fine-tooth comb to see if I could understand more why the judge had determined me unfit. After reading the letter that against the judge, I understood more why my children were taken. If I was the judge, after reading the letter that wrote about me based on nothing but pure lies and hearsay, I'm sure I would have felt the same way. After I found out about the letter, I filed a FOIL request right away and got a hearing, and the indicated report was removed from my name. But you see, the damage was already done, and it created a domino effect that lasts 11 years. The report that filed indicated also affect my career. I was unable to be a mandated reporter, as well as it affected my ability to parent, and I was ordered supervised visitation from the place I worked for 5 years, Family of Woodstock, the Child Care Council, keeping children safe. When I advised the Child Protective Unit of the impact that this report did and the amount of money I spent in court, I was told by the worker, have fun spending another $14,000 getting it off your name. Well, I did spend a dime getting it off my name. I just did what I do best. I gathered the facts, presented them, and returned to unfounded. I do have to say, over the past 11 years, trying to unravel this mess has cost me thousands upon thousands of dollars and put my home into foreclosure, which drew me to food pantries. But I would do it all over again for the safety and welfare of children, that they are and will always be my world, my sunshine. I've made a promise to protect and love them forever and always with my heart and soul. My children were handed over to abusers because the same system that's built to protect children failed to protect my children, because they based the report on lies and not one fact, and removed them. As well, no one did a background check on my ex-husband, who had the same man never had custody of my daughters. No one listened to the possibility that maybe just for 1 minute this girl's telling the truth. Maybe we should look into what she's telling us about her mother is true and her ex-husband. What was done instead was that the mandated reporter supported the abuser. As a result, I and my children were abused by a system that is supposed to protect us. and to protect her privacy, I will not go into the details. You see, no one looked into the facts, and when given the facts, it was ignored. My name has been dragged through the mud, and still to this day has not been cleared, which has been difficult to say the least to deal with. My family has been torn apart, and the damage to this has caused unrepairable, and the time is something that you cannot get back. As well, I have put my home into foreclosure using my money to keep my children safe from a system that failed both myself and them. Could you put yourself in my shoes for just 1 minute and think about how it would feel to lose your children, your job, your home, because someone didn't take the time to gather the facts? In closing, I would like to say that all could have stopped if someone just would have listened to my cries for help. If someone could have said maybe she's telling the truth about her mother. So you see, I'm standing here today in front of you, not so much for myself or my children, because 11 long years the reason I have come here tonight is to hope that my story will bring awareness to Ulster County, New York, and the surrounding areas, as this is a large problem all over the nation, and change is needed now. Children are being damaged, families are being broken, and abuse is happening, because facts are not what needs to be reported, not hearsay and lies taken as facts. Also, if the system does not change, I fear for the safety of many children in the future. So many children and families have already been affected, and some have led to death of children. I'm sure you're all aware of the most recent death. As an advocate for family court and PTSD reform, I can tell you that I have met many other parents and children that have been affected by this. I would like you to please take what I have said tonight and use it as an opportunity to make change to a system that needs reform. Way too many children are not being protected and lives are being taken as facts, and families and leaving our children unprotected. Also, CPS workers are writing narratives with non-factual statements as the following are only a few. The parent has an undiagnosed mental health issue, as if they are doctors when they have no professional background in writing such a report. I have seen firsthand workers leaving out in the narrative the fact that the lawyer was present at the time of the meeting with the parent. Many false statements that can lead to false reports and ongoing damage to many children and parents. It's all about the facts. At least that's what I was trained when I was working as a mandated reporter. Please stand up today, reach out, make those changes so we can make a difference and keep our children safe. I know each and every one of you here tonight cares about children. We need to keep them safe. You're all part of making this happen today and in the future. Please reform the system and make some changes now. Enough is enough. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
And if anyone has any further questions or needs my phone number or any type of anything, I would love to have your name, because you brought up a concern and contact with you, because we're working also with Frank Sartados and Steve Bowles to try to reform and change the system. So there is many parents that have been dealing with Ulster County CPS that are having children taken, put in foster care without the facts. They're ripping up families.
Maybe could you give her an agenda? My name's on the agenda.
Oh, sure. That's
great. Thank
you. Thank you all. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
you. Do you mind if I contact you?
No, I don't. I mean, I will say that from the sound effect of your story, you went through the legal system and you were by a judge standing in Ulster County. I don't know, we can't do things like overturn judges' decisions and things
no,
like that.
No, I'm just advocating a judge in good standing. Which judge?
I don't know which judge you went to. Right, the family court judge?
I've been here 11 years, so I've touched base with several and in the process because I went through a lot of the detail.
I mean, I'm assuming there were judgments because your children were given different custody, right? So there was a judgment against you?
There was a judgment made without a hearing.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a letter sent by that I wasn't aware of a finding that because I worked for the Child Care Council of Ulster County, I knew how to do FOIA requests and things like that, and then it was reversed. But I didn't have a hearing for 2 years.
Is that the child's warrant?
Child
lawyer? Yeah. Family court usually appoints a child advocate lawyer to children.
The child's lawyer at the beginning was, and then it was.
Oh.
But custody arrangements changed. But this, you know, if I would have told you all the lawyers and
no,
all
that's
the judges,
all right.
I'm
limited on knowledge and I'd be limited on what I could do for you.
When you were asking the question, how it went from the 1.9 to 3.9?
Right. Yeah. Well, that would be a place to look also.
If you go inside of the CPS building and look inside the files, I think you'll see where all the money is being spent. I think that you'll find a lot of files. Because I went with a friend of mine who had a report put on her name, and they did the same thing they did to me. They said, and she had it off too. They just put undiagnosed mental health issue. She doesn't have a mental health issue, and neither did I. And they did that. So you would see a lot that's going on if you go inside there.
Thank you for telling me.
You have my contact.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Anything further?
If nothing further, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good.